So we're going to be in Acts chapter 3 today, and I'd like you to take your Bibles and your scriptures right now and get to Acts chapter 3, and we're going to talk about the beautiful gate and see God work in this way. Amen? The beautiful gate. Hallelujah. So, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 3. And I just feel that the Lord wants to encourage us today and to show us some things that He wants to do in this season right now. Now, this is a season, later on in Acts chapter 4, the Christians were praying a prayer and they quoted a scripture. And I almost feel like we're in a season where it says, "Why do the nations rage? Why are the nations so angry right now?" There's a lot of anger out there. And it's not in the church. It's in the nations. There's this stirring up. And what you're going to see in this story about the Peter and John going up the temple to pray, you're going to see that there's a lot of anger that happens when God starts to move. Can somebody say amen? Not everybody is going to be happy when God moves. And anger sometimes is a response that comes when God shows up. Because He doesn't always do things the way we think He should. And sometimes, I don't really understand it, but it just ticks people off when you start telling people about Jesus. Or when God shows up in a situation. And we're starting with verse 1. And we're in the story of the beautiful gate, and the name of the message today is The Beautiful Gate. And I guess I'm going to tell you about this man, but let's read a little bit of the scripture first, okay? Peter and John were going up the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go in to the temple, he asked to receive alms. Alms is another word for money, contribution, a gift. He wanted an offering. Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on him, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. And then Peter begins to preach. So I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to talk about the beautiful gate. Now, we've got several things here that we're going to talk about, and they're all going to start with the letter G. All right, we're going to talk about the gate. We're going to talk about the gaze. We're going to talk about the gift. We're going to talk about the grasp. And then last but not least, we're going to talk about the grace. So those are the things we're going to talk about. The gate, the gaze, the gift, the grasp, and the grace. The gate. It was called a beautiful gate. It was beautiful. And this beauty that was beautiful about the gate, I mean, I've never seen it. I've never been there, obviously. I don't know what it really looked like. But there was something that was timely or special that made that gate look like it was the way it was supposed to look. You ever raise a plant or raise a flower and you go get a flower, you order it, you put it in the ground like a rose, and when it comes up, it looks just like the way it's supposed to look. And that's the sense of the beauty you have here, that the beauty of that gate is, that means it is the best looking gate I've ever seen, as gates go. And it could be decoration, but I mean, it is a gate above all gates. It's what it's supposed to be. Hear what I'm saying? The beauty of the gate was, is that it was what it was supposed to be. And just like with anything that we do or we have, God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for a thing or a job or whatever it is. And there's something beautiful about it when it comes into its purpose of why it was there in the first place. And so you had a beautiful gate there, but on the other hand, you had a man who was not beautiful. He was not doing what God wanted him to do. He was unable to stand. He couldn't stand. And it says that he was lame from birth. He was lame from the day he was born. That man never knew what it was like to stand up on his feet. All he could do was kneel. He was on his knees his entire life, sitting or kneeling, but he could not stand from birth. And so how did the people there handle this man? How did they deal with it? The best they could. They did the best they could. So what did they do? They gave him money. They carried this man. Think about this now, his entire life. Think about a person who spent their entire life being picked up by very kind people. Think about it. They said, we want to be kind to this lame man, and we're going to bring him to a place where he can get some money because he can't work. I mean, people who can't work have to get money somehow. And so he was completely dependent upon people's gifts. And so that's all they could do for that man his entire life, is bring him to a place where he can meet a lot of folks. And when you have a lot of folks that give you a little bit of something, you've got something. And that's all that man's life consisted of, his entire life. Now, in my opinion, that's not very beautiful, is it? That's not a beautiful gate, is it? To have somebody who's lame and everybody did what they could, but it's not what God can do. And I have to tell you, sometimes we have to stop being satisfied with what man can do and start contending for what only God can do.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
We got to say it's not enough. I'm sorry. We're doing what we can. We brought this lame man to the gate, but it's not enough for you to be at this gate. It's time for you to enter in. You realize that man was brought to the gate and never brought into the temple? There's no mention of him ever going inside. It's like coming to the door and never being able to enter in, because the people only could bring him to the doorway. They could never bring him in. Only God brought him in the temple. And God wants to bring some people who've never entered in the temple into the temple. There's some lame folk out there, folks. There is some lame folks that have been that way from their birth. And there's been some kindness given to them. I can tell you times when I've given people money, I've given people whatever I could give them, but it was, how many of you know, it wasn't enough to change them? Because the next day, where'd you find them? Come on. Were they inside the temple? Nope, they were at the gate again. And what were they doing? Looking to receive something again. And I just want you to know something. I'm tired of that.
Amen.
I'm tired of seeing somebody at the same place never being able to get inside the temple because they're not really getting what they really need. And they're just coming back to the same place because their feet are still lame. And there are some that are standing at the gate, and maybe not physically they're lame, but inside they're lame because they're not going in. I want to call them the hard to save folk. They got a lot of kindness, and people have been kind to them. They've carried them to the edge, but for some reason they don't go inside. Well, guess what? I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to us today, there are some that have been sitting at the gate, and it's time for them to get inside.
Amen.
It's time for them to get away from the gate. It's time for your feet to be healed. It's time to stop begging, and it's time to start praising.
Amen.
God wants to get you out of the begging mode and into the praising and dancing and glorifying mode. It's time. It's time to get away from the gate.
Amen.
Glory to God. And I want to show you a couple things. It was beautiful, but God doesn't want us to stay there.
Right.
Now, let's talk about what gets you into the faith, because that's the thing. It's by faith that we enter in to the temple. It's by faith. They asked Peter and James, they asked Peter and John, they said, by what name did you do that? They said, the name of Jesus and faith in His name. That's what gave us the power to do what we did. So we know that it's only by the faith in the name of Jesus that this man was able to get up. So where does it start? What do we see? What can we learn from this passage about how someone can be someone who's been crippled and for some reason has got a whole lot of things given to them, yet they still haven't been able to break into where they need to go. All right? First thing is the gaze. What are you looking for? What are you looking for in your life? Some people have their gaze in the wrong place. And that's what he said. The first thing, when they're walking to the temple, it says, what happened? He saw, verse 3, Peter and John about to go in. And then he asked them a question. Can I have some money? Can I have an offering? And Peter, it says, directed his gaze at him. And just, and you hear how important this is? Because he's saying, Peter looked at him and John looked at him. You see that both of them focused their attention on this man. From that point on, they didn't pay attention to all the other folks at the gate. So I want to encourage you that God wants to give us a faithful focus on what God is doing. If we're going to step into this kind of faith, we need to learn to focus on what God is doing and what He wants us to do. When you're a Christian, one of the things you learn have to learn how to do is manage what your hands touch, and you have to manage where your feet go, and you have to manage as a Christian what your eyes look at, and you have to manage what you look, what you listen to. One thing I learned when I became a Christian, that the Lord was very interested in what I and how I managed what I looked at. He wanted me to manage with what I touched. He wanted me to manage where I went. He cares about where you go. He cares about what you're looking at. He cares about what you're listening to and where your what your hands are doing. He cares about all of those things. And so as a Christian, we need to accept that responsibility of doing and looking at what God wants us to see. And there are more ways to look at stuff today than I had when I was growing up. Now, brother, when I was growing up, I started out with a black and white television that my daddy put together from a kid. Okay? You ever heard of those? Probably not. What's that, right? They have those in museums now. I'll never forget. It was down in our basement. We didn't even have one upstairs. It was in the basement where we hung out, and we watched this thing called TV before we went to school. But we had this, and then I had things called magazines and chalkboards, and that was it, and then people. Nowadays, I have three screens I look at every day. Three. And sometimes four. Three screens. Phone, and sometimes I pull out my iPad. That's screen number two, right? Phone number one, screen number two. Screen number three, my laptop, which is where I spend most of my time because I type and, you know, I type and, okay. And then if I watch television, I don't watch TV on any of those other screens. I decided not to do that. I mean, God wanted me to manage my screen time. So one thing that we worked out, just me and him, was no gaming on my phone, no gaming on any of my computer, no on my laptop, no gaming on my iPad. I decided no gaming and no TV watching on any of those screens. Now, that was just a deal between me and the Lord. And that's okay. Okay, that's just, but that's a decision I had to make with the Lord. Some of you may do that, some of you may not. I'm not telling you what to do. But I know me, okay? I know me, and then if I was doing a game on a screen that was portable, I'd be walking in the walls and crashing my car. You know what I'm saying? And being, yeah, you know what I mean. And not really listening to people. I try to listen. And I, you know what I found? That when you look at someone, you listen a whole lot better to them. Did you all know that? So the first thing that I believe Peter did and John did is they fixed their gaze on this man, number one, to see where he was going. And one thing we teach you, and I want to teach you, is that you look at somebody when you want to minister to them. Now, I like to shut my eyes to worship, and there will take time when I will worship and I'll close my eyes. But I also learned to keep your eyes open so you can see what God's doing. You keep your eyes open in expectation that God's going to be doing something. So I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to listen to you because I'm looking at you. See what I'm saying? So there's a gaze that's important for the focus of that. And also, he said to them, he said to him, and it was a command. It wasn't a suggestion. He says, look at us. Look at us. Stop looking around. Stop trying to get money. You know, because he said, look at us. Fix your gaze. The Bible talks about, uses this term, fixing your gaze. Well, that means the gaze, it's funny because that's the word that means to repair something that's broken. Now, I'm not saying that's what it means there, but that's the same word that we use to repair something. We fix it. But it's, I think in the King James, it's more like I'm fixing to do something, right? More like it, you know. Yeah, you're fixing to do it. So fix your gaze, like, do it. Like, that's what we say up from New York. Just do it. Don't think about it. Do it. Okay? So you fix your eyes because you want to receive. And I would say the best illustration of that is anybody's got an animal like a dog, like our little doggy, and you got a piece of cheese in your hand. And you know that cheese is crack for dogs. I mean, they will do anything. It's just like cheese, that little dog will jump this high for cheese. You know what I'm saying? So, but you notice when they sit down, that's what they're doing. They don't even move their eyes. They won't even budge if you've got cheese and they know where that cheese is going. There's an attitude to receive that comes from when we put our eyes on Jesus. And he said, start, and that will release your faith by eliminating distraction. God wants our faith to be released. And I'm not even saying that somehow he wants to make our faith bigger. He just wants the faith to get out. The faith is there, right? If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you've got the faith. And so you want to release it by fixing your gaze. Look at us. Expect to receive and don't be distracted. Now we're going to look at two confessions that have to do with the gift. This is this next thing. And I think this is really smart. To walk in faith, to release the power of God to get these tough cases healed, okay? I believe we need to confess what we don't have as well as confess what we do have. What did Peter say? He said, I don't have silver and gold. I don't have it. I have the name of Jesus. So you confess what you don't have. And what that does is that it's like it releases, I believe, the faith of God to say, look, you're not getting this because God has something different from you. Sometimes you have to say no to say yes. Say no to silver and gold. And I have to tell you this. The world will treat you like the greatest person if you give silver and gold. That's where they're at. It's all about the silver and gold. If you really want to help the poor, what can you do? Silver and gold. And whether it's starting a nonprofit, what do you need to start a nonprofit? Silver and gold. What do you know? But you don't need silver and gold to start a ministry. God can supply. And you don't need silver and gold to give you the power of God to do what God wants you to do. God will supply it. But man is so focused on silver and gold, it's like that's the only answer for anything. I mean, that's what I see everywhere I go. If there's a need of hunger, how do you fix it? Silver and gold. If people are sick, how do you fix it? Silver and gold. It's all about money. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. And this world runs on the money. It's the money that makes this world go. And we as Christians have to say that silver and gold is not the answer. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't give. You hear what I'm saying? But you got to get your focus off the little to go to the real. Sometimes you got to stop the stuff that's not working in order to get the stuff that really can work. So there are times when I feel like we have to simply say no. No to silver and gold is the answer. I'm sorry, silver and gold is not this answer. You need Jesus.
Amen.
You need, and I've got it. I've got it. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Instead of just giving them what, you know, because people are going to keep taking. And they'll keep taking, and it won't ever end. Because they're never healed. Amen? So y'all there now. So confess what you don't have, and give what you have. And he came to this place of expecting something. He knew he was getting something, but he didn't know what it was. But he found out, didn't he? When he jumped up. Now the grasp. This is the one I think is so cool. So the grasp is what I would call Holy Spirit empowered action. So the first thing he did is he got his focus right. Right? He said, he gazed at them. Then he said, look at us. So the focus came for faith. But then after the focus came for faith, he did something. He reached out and he grasped that man. He touched him. Now, I believe that the grasp of faith requires you to touch somebody, first of all. And that means you have to get out of your car sometimes. You have to get out of your house sometimes. You have to get off the screen sometimes. And sometimes you literally have to grasp a person and begin the process with them. And I'm just telling you, I've seen this in my life. People know that you care when you're willing to spend time with them.
Amen.
And not just preach at them from a distance. That means you literally go where they are. You don't expect them to come to you. You go where they are. Peter and John went to the temple to pray, and they met the man where he was. So you need to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to where people are. And that may mean that you, when you go to Walmart, and this is hard for me because when I go to Walmart, I just want to get in and get out as quick as possible. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
That's me. I mean, I just get in and out. I just don't shop there because it's not the place you don't. I mean, you just get what you want and leave quickly. But I don't know why it is about Walmart. That's just the way my mind is. Lowe's, on the other hand, is completely different. Completely different. I hang out there, check out things, you know, look at stuff and everything. Different place. But here's the thing. When you go to Walmart, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there somebody here at a beautiful gate that I need to reach my hand out to? And you'll be surprised. There may be someone there that God wants you to fix their gaze, your gaze on them and say, look at me, I will look at you. I feel like the Lord's got a prophetic word for you. Now, you don't say it necessarily like that. You may say, hey, you know, and you start talking, so maybe God, you know, sometimes I get something, I feel it's from the God. Can I share this with you? Or can I pray for you? Last night I had a situation where somebody, and this happens all the time where our coffee shop is. You know, a guy was out back behind Sparky's peeing or whatever. Which it just happens there, okay? It's where we're at. I wish it weren't that way, okay? So I started talking to him. Like, you know, and just reaching out to him. And he's a guy that just wanders around. But I said, can I pray for you? He's like, okay. It's like the shock. You know, first the shock kind of wears off. Like, you want to pray for me, not like cuss me out. Right? I started praying for him. We just started to share a little bit. Now, it was a little hard to understand him because his speech was impaired. You know why, kind of. I don't want to have to say it. But we prayed. Or I was at Food Lion, and a guy's... This all happened in 1 week. But I'm just telling you ways to connect to people. This gentleman was an elderly gentleman, had a big old nice-looking watermelon. And he was getting ready to put it in his car, and it fell out of his basket and started rolling down the parking lot fast. There was no way he was going to catch it because he couldn't walk that fast. So I'm like, grabbing that watermelon. So don't ever let a watermelon get away. I mean, it was very easy for me to go get it, okay? Because I love watermelon. But it had broken. And I brought it back to him, and it was dripping. I said, you got a bag? He says, nah, I'll just throw it out. So I said, okay. I went running back up the Food Lion, and I said, look, can I just get another? This elderly gentleman had a watermelon fall and it broke. Can I get him another one? Is it all right? He goes, yeah. So I gave him the watermelon, got another one, and gave it to him. Okay? Now look, I didn't say Jesus. I didn't say what's your sin. You know what I'm saying? That's what you call random act of kindness. Because watermelon don't usually go running down the parking lot. It's very random to see a watermelon rolling down a parking lot. But when God gives you a random opportunity, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Don't let it pass you by. I go, oh, look, there's a watermelon rolling down a hill. And just don't let it pass you by. Go get that watermelon. You see what I'm saying? You know, right? This man does, he does random acts, kindness. Praise God. God, you know, God wants to give us the ability to reach our hand out to people and touch them and to be with them. And, you know, people, you know, you've heard the saying, people will not care what you know if they don't know if you care. You got to care and you got to be with them and you got to listen to them. You got to connect with them. And then you know that God will do it. And it is so true. And there are communities out here that you don't normally go with. And that's normal. That is normal. People are like birds and they flock together, and that's normal. So that means you as a bird have to sometimes fly and maybe the duck and a bunch of pigeons. That's okay. Be the duck who you are. Right? Just be who you are and let the pigeons do their thing and you do your thing, but you show that you care. Because there are things that ducks can do that pigeons can't. Amen. Right? I'm just trying to get us so that we get out of our, we got to get out of our shell sometimes. We got to break out and we got to start to pray for people and minister to people. And then the last thing I want to talk to you about is the grace. What I love about this is that when he grabbed him by the hand, he jumped before he walked. That's the way our God does things. I just feel the presence of the Lord. When the power of God comes, you just do crazy stuff before you get your life together. And that's all right. And when you see God touch people, don't worry about the jumping. That's okay. Let him jump. If you've been laying on your butt for your whole life, unable to walk, they deserve some jumping time. Let them jump. Let them leap. Let them praise God with everything. I mean, this is what praise is all about. It's not just the power to walk, it's the power to praise. This man just didn't get healed. He got saved. And that's what God wants. That's a whole lot better than silver and gold. I'll take that any day over silver and gold. And it's not that I don't want to give it. You've already heard that part. But the grace was there the very first time. The very first time. And it says that he was walking and jumping and praising God. And he went into the temple with them. For the first time in his life, he went to the temple and he was able to go inside. Instead of just getting a little bit of help, he got a whole lot of help. And it was such a witness that the whole city was stirred. The very first miracle after Pentecost, right here. God wants to bring people to real knowledge. To what it means to really know Jesus. To really know Jesus. To get beyond the, oh yeah, that Jesus guy. Oh yeah. It's like the guy I was talking to yesterday. Oh, I know Jesus. But you look at him. You see what kind of life he lives. He doesn't. You need to really know him. You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to judge or criticize him. But people say, oh yeah, I know God. And it's like the Laodicean church. You say you're rich and wealthy, but it says you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. You don't even realize how you are. And I would say that's a pretty good description of America. There are a lot of people that think they know something when they don't really know just how poor how blind and how naked they are. They don't have the clothes. They think they're looking great, but they're not. And that's where God's called this church. God has called you and me to reach our hand out and to help people who have never known the power of God. It's time to reach people. The world will do what they can. Let the world throw the silver and gold at folks. Let's reach them out with the name of Jesus. Amen? That's my word for you today. That's God's word for us. Can we just ask Him right now in prayer? Lord God, we just pray right now. Father God, we say that we are willing as we're walking. Lord, we're asking You to make us willing as we walk our day-to-day lives to stop and look at the places we need to look. Lord, let us be willing to watch for the Lord moving whenever we go, Lord, wherever we go, whatever we do. And Lord, we're also willing for You to tell us to go somewhere specific because there's somebody You want us to reach and meet. Just like You did to Peter when he was on the rooftop of a house, You said, I want you to go and to this man Cornelius' house. Lord, let us be willing to go. Lord, Jews never went to the house of Gentiles. Never stepped foot in a door of a Gentile. But Peter was told to go where he was not comfortable, where he never used to go. So, Lord, we're asking You to make us like Peter and give us places to go that we never used to go. We normally don't go. Please, Lord, we're asking You, don't keep us stuck in familiar places. Let us walk where You want us to walk. Let us touch what You want us to touch. And let us see what You want us to see. And we pray in the name of Jesus. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
Take up the sword.